nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
So let's start from, in PMOS transistors, which carriers are responsible for off-state hot carrier? You can say both.
But the oxide will break due to the holes.
Yes. It is true, but which carriers are hot? I mean, these are...
P-channel,
but this is off-state. So it is going... What is tunneling? Electrons are tunneling from the body to the...
To the body, to the train.
Okay. What is the distinction between number variable and time variable?
So, number variable is essentially, you're plotting the degradation versus the number of samples that are broken, versus the other one is with respect to...
What do you mean degradation?
The cumulative, number of samples.
No, not number of samples. X-axis is?
Number of defects.
Number of defects. Number of red boxes. You just count the number of red boxes at the position of the breakdown. That's number variable. In time variable?
Time variable is what time to break.
Right. So if, let's say, after the fifth one, the sixth broke 10 times later, the number variable wouldn't care. It will just say 5 and then 6. On the other hand, time will care a lot because then its x-axis will be expanded. Right? So number variable doesn't depend on time exponent. The reason it's useful is because many times the time exponent may have complicated process. The alpha may change depending on many things, but the number variable is relatively insensitive to that. So which measurement is used to determine number variable? Name another technique that could do the same.
Charge pumping method to determine number variable.
We have done that. Is that accurate, do you think? Well, what is wrong with this number variable? There was this way of using charge pumping?
By using charge pumping method, total current will be represented as such current.
No, that's true. No, I'm just thinking about the oxide itself. Charge pumping, which defects does it probe?
It can be bulk as well as interface.
But generally bulk meaning not even bulk. I mean in terms of bulk by that way you mean that maybe a 1 nanometer or so. Generally interface.
So then carrier will come and it will flow through the interface and it will go.
Right. I know how the process is, but I'm saying generally close to the interface. And so therefore if the defect generation is very different away from the interface, then it will not be able to catch it. Right here, although I'm saying the defect generation rate is more or less given by the charge pumping experiment, that assumes that the interface is similar to the bulk. Which other technique do you think you can use in order to know that what the defect generation rate is? And that is a popular technique for TDDB. What is it called?
DCIV.
No, DCIV is even more closer to the surface. CV, but you see, CV, yes, you can, but you see, it's happening in trapping is happening on such a small place. Will there be a big change in the VT?
Silk.
Stress-induced leakage current. If you look as a function of time, as the defects are forming, before the gate oxide breaks, you'll see a continuous increase in the silk. And the silk primarily reflects mid-region defects. And so therefore, if you combine charge pumping and silk, then you are in good shape. Okay? What is area scaling and will area scaling hold for off-state breakdown? Do you remember what area scaling is? Yes.
That's when you scale the area of transistor itself and larger than the real.
Right. So the test structure could be small, but if I want to know, and I have some lifetime, and if I want to know the lifetime of the entire IC, then that area is big. So then I will use the area scaling formula. Right? Okay, good. But will area scaling hold for off-state breakdown? What is the requirement for area scaling?
It should be uniform degradation in the oxide ion. Like it's only near the...
Yes. So the defect has to be uncorrelated generation. When the first defect forms, the second defect doesn't form close by, and essentially it can happen randomly. But you see, in this little region, the area of the transistor doesn't matter. Whether you have 5 micron channel length, or if you have 50 micron channel length, what it doesn't care. The only thing it cares about is a narrow region within the gate oxide. So there will be no area scaling whatsoever in this particular thing, right? Because it's all happening. It doesn't care about how big the transistor is. Only thing it cares about is how big the this drain extended region is where the damage is happening. Area scaling will not work. Okay. Okay, so this is the second thing. What condition? How did the gate electric field profile influence percolation simulation? The field, electric field, the arrows.
Now the percolation path will be higher because effectively the peak, there is a, the breakdown happens extended out.
Downstream.
So the hypotenuse will be the
It'll be longer. That's right. So therefore it effectively made two changes. One was the percolation path was longer, but that was the result. The thing was the defect generated, were generated primarily away from that gate area. For universal curve, is the value of power exponent a fixed number? If not, what exponent should we choose and why? Value of the exponent in a universal curve, is it a constant or is it time dependent itself?
It is time dependent. We have to pick the average which occurs at the time of breakdown.
Close to the time of breakdown, right? Because for one curve, of course, that time has a one range. But if you have 12 or 15 or 20 breakdowns, you just take the alpha value from there. Unlike NBTI, universal curves do not have the same time exponent. So therefore, what value of alpha? In your percolation theory, you need alpha. What value of alpha are you going to choose? And you are right that you should take close to the breakdown. Yes?
For determining the number variable, should the multi-frequency charge pumping also work?
The multi-frequency charge pumping is a variant. So the question is whether you can use multi-frequency charge pumping. Multi-frequency charge pumping is a variant of charge pumping. Charge pumping is generally done at a kilohertz or so. I'm sorry, megahertz or so. And then it sees very close, maybe 2 to 3 angstrom inside the oxide. Just one defect. Now, if you reduce it, then you can see a little bit more. But by little bit more, maybe maximum a nanometer. When you have still a 5 or 10 nanometer, it is still interface. People, you can call it near interface states. But the reason multi-frequency people say that they probe bulk is bulk these days when your oxide is 1 nanometer, multi-frequency you can say that that 1 nanometer it sees essentially sees the whole bulk. But in terms of a thick oxide, the term bulk is no longer bulk. Anything else? Yes.
So in traditional TDDB, we saw that PMOS is affected to a great extent.
Yes.
But here we see that it's the NMOS that is, because there's a shorter.
So remember, I have just told you one part of the story associated with Weibo. And that, of course, get into the area scaling and the percentile scaling, right? So those two, and I said the area scaling doesn't happen. Percentile scaling, you'll correspondingly have to see what the value of beta is and say that. But of course, I haven't told you about voltage acceleration. And there you have to go back and see whether the NMOS has faster or smaller voltage acceleration or larger, smaller voltage acceleration compared to PMOS. If the PMOS has higher voltage acceleration, then having a lower variable slope will not save, a higher variable slope will not save you. But, you know, whatever it is, it's no a priori conclusion. You just look at the problem, whatever conclusion comes up. Okay? All right. Thank you.